Let us hear the word of God as we find in the book of Haggai. That little book, hard to find, but if you find Matthew and then go forward a wee couple of books, you'll find Haggai. Haggai chapter 1. Just find the book of Matthew and then move forward a couple of books. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 1. In the second year of King Darius, in the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, the son of Zephaniah, governor of Judah, and to Joash, the son of Jehoiakim, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to live in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages to put them into a purse and holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber. Build a house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it has turned that to little. What you have brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains in ruins, which either of you is busy with her own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I call for a drought on the fields and mountains, on the grain and the new wine, and the oil and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle and in the labor of their hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Zephaniah, Joash's son of Jehoiakim, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent them, and the people feared the Lord. Amen. We know the Lord will bless the public reading of his word. As you look back over the year 2016, what sticks out in your memory? Donald Trump, elected to be the next president of the United States. It pleased some and displeased others. There was a referendum concerning Brexit. The results pleased some and displeased others. There was an appeal in the judgment of the Asher's cake row. The results pleased some and displeased others. Who will ever forget the war in Syria, the massacre of Aleppo, and the refugees on the boats? Or the hunger and the starvation in the Yemen, or the latest cash for ash revelations from Stormont. Maybe it was something more personal for you, like an illness, or major surgery in hospital, or the birth of a baby in the family. Maybe it was a wedding in the family. Maybe it was redundancy, or looking for a new job. Maybe it was retirement, or maybe it was leaving secondary school and going to university. Maybe it was even a memorable holiday. Yes, there's something, perhaps several things that stick out in your memory for the year 2016. There were the good things, and there were the disappointments and failures. But we cannot go back. We're in the first day of the first month of a new year. We have to go forward. However, at the end of one year and as we enter a new year, it is surely a wise man or woman that considers objectively what he has done and what improvements can be done for the future. And Haggai in chapter 1 and verse 5 says, now this is what the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought to your ways. What better time to do this than at the beginning of a new year? Give careful thought to your ways. First of all, why are we to give careful thought to our ways? William Gladstone once said, "Tell me what the young men of England are doing on Sunday, and I will tell you what the future of England will be." I think we now know the answer to that one. The same thing could be said about Northern Ireland. Tell me what the young men of Northern Ireland are doing on a Sunday, and I will tell you what the future of Northern Ireland will be. When the people of Israel returned to Jerusalem, they found the city in total ruins. The returning Jews began to rebuild the city, little by little, until they finished the foundation for the new temple. However, their neighbors, the Samaritans and other neighbors, feared the political and religious implications of a rebuilt temple. And so they did everything to vigorously oppose the reconstruction. They managed to halt the work on the temple. The Jews became apathetic towards the religious condition of their nation. They began to focus on rebuilding their own homes, planting crops, and building their economic stability, while neglecting the temple of the Lord God. The Lord sent Haggai to prophesy to the people. And Haggai went to the political and religious leaders of Jerusalem and declared, "Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways." He says the same thing twice, in verse 5 and in verse 7. Haggai was telling the people, God knows where your heart is, and that your heart isn't committed to the work of the Lord. Recommit yourself to rebuilding your spiritual life, and then the other things will come together. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." When we are committed to the Lord's work, everything else will come together for us. And God's house went neglected, but there was plenty of time to rebuild their nice new houses for themselves. And there's nothing wrong with having a nice home or nice things. But everything in life is tended to be a trade-off in either time or money or both. And whenever we make one choice, how will it impact another area? They were there in Jerusalem for one purpose. They had one task, and surely there were plenty of things that needed to be taken care of. Yes, they did need homes to live in. Yes, they did need some sort of income. Yes, they did need crops to be harvested, and some sort of commerce needed to be seen to. But these things were just support for the purpose of being there, of rebuilding the temple. We all have our God-ordained purpose for being here. And we all have our busy things to do to maintain our lives. But the problem comes whenever we get our priorities confused, whenever we get our priorities wrong, when those busy things become the priority. God's message to us is simply, give careful thought to your ways. Pay attention to the way that you're doing things. Examine your life. Use some thought. The Lord is challenging his people's priorities. They are putting themselves and their kingdom before God and his kingdom. They are building their own lives without God at the center. They are seeking more and more away from him and not being satisfied. And he is challenging them to think very carefully about their lives. The Apostle Paul, Apostle John writes, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." Now, who was John writing to? Was he writing to the pagans and the heathen? Who were the we? Surely the we were John himself and the other believers. If we Christians say we have no sin, then we Christians deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Sin is a dreadful thing. Sin is to be feared. Like Joseph, who was tempted by Pharaoh's wife, it is something to run away from. And the Bible commands us to flee from all of this and to seek after righteousness, godliness, and faith. We should not try to test how strong we are, how good we are at resisting temptation, because we know that for Joseph, he fled from the very presence of Pharaoh's wife so that he wouldn't be tested beyond his strength. And therefore, we should flee from the temptation of sin. That first alcoholic drink, that first taking of drugs, that first smoke could lead to addiction. That first date with the boy or the girl in disobedience to the Word of God could start something that would lead to be unequally yoked. That first deception could lead to a web of lies and more lies. Give careful thought what you begin to do and what could the end results be. You managed to get safely through the year 26 successfully. Maybe you have had the odd visit to the doctor or even to the hospital. Maybe you have had a major sickness or even less so. But what about the days? What about the days to come? You have now moved to a new year. But let us think about it. It's a year near our end of life. It is a year nearer death. Yes, we don't like to think about it this way, but you're a year near death. What have you done in preparation? This is why we need to give careful thought on this, the first day of 2017. But then secondly, when are we to give thought to our ways? Look at verse 2. The foundation of the temple had been built, but then, through no fault of their own, the people had been prevented from going on with the work of building the Lord's house. But then the hindrance was removed, they said, in verse 2, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Do we sometimes speak in the same way? No urgency about prayer, about Bible study, about attending church, about witnessing. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7:26, because of the present crisis. And then in verse 29, he says, the time is short. And then in verse 31, he says, for this world in its present form is passing away. Some commentators suggest that Paul is thinking about the second coming of Christ. However, the immediate context of this passage was the destruction of Jerusalem about 15 years after Paul wrote 1 Corinthians. And now the major pressures of such of a crisis would be the shattering impact upon a family life. One only has to visit such countries as Iraq, Uganda, Zimbabwe, the Middle East, Afghanistan, Syria, to appreciate something of the inconceivable agony and suffering produced in such a war situation. Hardly a single family had not been personally and violently affected by wars in these countries over the last decade. Any Christian, especially one with the burning heart of the Apostle Paul, would have longed to spare those in his care any such suffering. However, as we have come to the first Sunday of another year, we should give careful thought to our ways, for the time is short. The time is short for the believer to live in this world. The whole lifetime is very short. From the cradle to the grave is but a short journey. All flesh is as grass. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. So as we meet here on the first day of January 2017, how much of our allocated lifespan on this earth has already passed? It is a sobering thought that for every one of us, some of those years have already been removed from our lifespan. Anything from 8 to 80 years has already gone. How much is already passed away, and what remains is all numbered. Yes, all of us here this evening, your Sundays are numbered. The number of sermons you're yet to hear in Trinity or Brookside or First or wherever you come from are numbered. The last one is already fixed. The number of sermons that William or Brian or Mark or myself will ever preach in a huckle are numbered. The last one is already fixed. Yes, soon the day of grace will be over. Preaching and praying will be done. Soon we shall give our wrestling over to an unbelieving world. Soon the trials and troubles of this world will be over. A little while and we shall stand before the great white throne. A little while and the wicked shall be no more. We shall see them going away unto everlasting punishment. A little while and the world of eternity will begin. How many more years are left in this world? How many more new years will we or anyone else be celebrating? We do not know. We must not speculate. Therefore, for the Christian, the time is short for you to witness for the Savior. Are you an elder, a youth leader, a Sunday school teacher? The time is short for you to teach and catechize and instruct the boys and girls in your care. Do you work in a shop, in a factory, or a school, a farm, or a home? The time is short for you to witness for those that you're in contact with, that Jesus Christ is a Savior, that Jesus Christ is meaningful to you in your daily walk and witness. So why are we to give careful thought to our ways? We are to do it so because the time for a believer to live in this world is very short. The Jews were not refusing to build the temple. They just thought that there was plenty of time for that to be done. And of course, we know that for ourselves. People are just saying there's everything is going on. 2017 will go on the same as 2016, and it'll go on and on and on. I know I need to start tithing, and I will, as soon as I get some of these bills paid off. I plan to help out more in this church, but work has me real busy right now. Maybe later on, when I retire. Bible study, sure, that would be great. Maybe when things settle down around here and I'll be able to fit it in with my schedule a little better. It's not time yet. I'll maybe also be able to attend church and attend a midweek Bible study. But I'm so busy just at the moment. And dear father and mother, you may be the best parent in the world. With your hands, you tenderly and lovingly cared for your children. You have loved them and brought them up in the credit to you. But sadly, in doing so, you have neglected their soul. You may have had your children baptized and promised to bring them up in the ways of the Lord. But have you done that? Ah, yes, we can decide to continue as we have done for many years. Or we can decide to make a change, to make a difference, be positive. You can start this week by coming more regularly to church on a Sunday and to the Sunday evening services. Maybe you haven't done that before, or maybe you're a regular tender. There's one in the village, of course, that we know every Sunday evening. We can come to the midweeks. There's one every Wednesday in the three of our churches, or wherever you come from. And of course, we have the United Midweeks for the next 3 weeks. We will grow spiritually if we do regularly come to church on the Sabbath day and in midweeks. Yes, surely today as we start a new year is the best time to consider our ways. The condition in our life and in our service for the Lord will require it. And surely this is why we need to give careful thought to our days. And so when we need to do it, it needs to be done urgently. It needs to be done with haste. It needs to be done now, for time is short. But then thirdly, how are we to give careful thought to our ways? Read through the whole chapter and you will find considerable help in seeking to answer this question. But notice the following. They are to do it wholeheartedly. They are to do it wholeheartedly. This thing must be done with the heart and with the soul. It is to be done in the presence of the Lord. It is good to do it in the house of the Lord whenever we are meeting together with others. But it is better to get alone in God's presence and there to give careful thought to our ways. Are you going to leave the church this evening and say what the Israelites said, as they found in the book of Jeremiah. We will not listen to the message you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord. Stop making excuses. It's always easy to make excuses whenever you don't want to obey God. When you don't want to do something, you start to make excuses. And we can always find rational justification for not doing what God wants us to do. The time is not right yet. I've got a family responsibilities. My children need me now. When things settle down at work, then I'll do something. The first step in putting things right first is to admit responsibility. Evaluation is a good thing. Each day we need to evaluate how we spend our time and our money and how we use our talents. We should examine who we choose as friends, what we set as goal, where we're going. If God is not first, guess who removed him from that rightful place? There's nobody to blame but ourselves. The failure to take the proper precautions today will result in severe consequences tomorrow. When we stop making excuses, cease being selfish, seek God's blessing, and take time to evaluate, we can see God work in a powerful way. And this is what happens whenever the first things are first and when God is first in our lives. And so what comes to your mind whenever you recall 2016? What comes to your mind about your relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you surrendered all to him? Are you under his care? Are you willing to serve him no matter what? Whenever we think of the many situations in the world today, when we think of the way that many Christians are suffering, I wonder how we would stand up in such a situation. And surely this is where it is necessary for me to say a few words to anyone who as yet has not come to Christ for salvation. This is the reason for which God has given you another year. The long suffering of God is intended for our salvation. God gave men and women time to hear the gospel, time to pray, to get saved, but the unconverted would have wasted all the past years. Many people are convinced that because they have lived a good moral life, that is good enough. I wonder, are you among the multitudes who, in spite of hearing many sermons about your need for personal salvation, that you still believe a good life is all that is required? Time and time again, people say that they have not done anyone any harm and that they believe that is enough to get them to heaven. But at no time had anyone ever repented of their sin and come to Christ for salvation. A person can only be a Christian whenever they are a follower of Christ. And let me tell you that every church has people who will admit that they are not Christians, but they will still come to the Lord's table believing that all is well with their soul and that they will get to heaven. And sad to say, many people live the most awful life, and then family and friends will say, well, they're in a better place today. What an awful thing to say. One young man came to Jesus who claimed that he kept all the commandments from his youth. But Jesus made it quite clear that he was not good enough. To be fit for the kingdom of heaven involves more than living a moral and a good life. And surely the Christian life begins with sincerity. We take sin seriously. We take salvation in Christ seriously. We take Christ seriously. Christmas has just passed whenever we were remembering the birth of the Savior. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. How did you measure up in 2016? Was there evidence that your life had been changed by the power of Christ? Yes, everyone thinks that you're a fine Christian. But is that enough? According to the scripture, it is not. Give careful thought to your ways. And so tonight, at the beginning of a new year, we must consider our personal relationship with Christ. Our present condition cannot continue any longer. Today we're faced with a choice. Do we continue into 2017 as we have been during 2016 and make no change? This is a question we must ask ourselves. However, making a New Year's resolution is not enough. Something more is needed. And just to decide on our own mind to make improvements will not do. The Bible says, if a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Becoming a Christian is not like entering a new year. If we lie and watch television or go to bed and sleep, we pass from one year into the next. That happened at midnight automatically. And we would have done nothing to make it happen or be involved in any way. But we cannot drift into Christian life in that manner. But it's amazing that so many think so much about it that they do pass from one year into another. We don't leave this world in death and automatically end up in heaven. If it was as simple as that, if it was as simple as passing from one year into another, then why did God send his only son? Born of a woman to live in this earth, to die on the cross for our salvation. Ah, yes, it is time to consider our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. God's biggest business in this world is saving lost sinners. He gave his only begotten Son for that purpose. He gave us the Bible for that purpose. He sent the Holy Spirit for that purpose. He established the church for that purpose. He calls preachers and missionaries for that purpose. In a few minutes, we will be remembering what our Savior has done for us as we gather together around the Lord's table. We are remembering our Savior and his sacrifice for our sins. It was a remembrance of his sin. The broken body, the broken bread reminds us of his broken body. And the cup reminds us of the new covenant or agreement in his blood. Jesus said, this is my body. And as a remembrance that is personal. And as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we can no longer think it is for someone else. Because we are personally involved in it. When you personally take that bread and when you personally take that cup, you cannot think of the person behind you or the person in front of you. You're personally involved and you're taking that into your own life. No other part of worship or a prayer meeting can separate us unto individuals like the Lord's Supper. And as we gather around the Lord's table, we need to give careful thought to our ways and think what our personal relationship with Christ is. We are reminded of our Savior. It is a remembrance that is seen, and it is a remembrance that is personal. Give careful thought to your ways. Why should we give careful thought to our ways? Because our eternal destiny depends upon it. When should we give careful thought to our ways? We need to do it now, for our days are numbered on this earth. We do not know how when would be the last. Our days are short. How should we give careful thought to our ways? We should do it wholeheartedly in the presence of the Lord. Surely there's no better time, there's no better place than tonight, whenever we're gathered together around the Lord's table, whenever we remember what he has done for us, and that he and he alone can change and transform our lives. Will you then give careful thought to your ways? Let us pray.